Tim?
Hey, Ernie.
Okay, this is what I just got from Derek. Okay, we're still streaming, though. Okay, so I got from Derek. Hello, Derek. In adherence with our KYC, Know Your Customer, and AML anti-money laundering policies, we require additional information to verify your account activity. At your earliest convenience, please submit documentation that demonstrates your source of Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency, such as proof of purchase, such as Coinbase, pay statement, invoice, if you are paid in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, or proof of mining to our customer success team. Thank you. Gold money.
Doesn't surprise me. Well, I don't have one of their accounts, but I just have to run to the bathroom real quick and get some of the drink. But I do have an entire full-blown presentation I made for this yesterday, so we can kind of run through. And I'm thinking we tell people to go to the different streaming sites and maybe even go through the breaks. I made an entire PowerPoint for the economic report today. So
All right. I'll let you go. But man, if that doesn't dovetail into shit, okay. All right.
Yep.
Go.
All right.
Derek is sending Peter Schiff, you know, a copy of what he sent to Gold Money. Go, hey, Peter on Ernie's show said this. Oh, man.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all.
No, of course. It's a third-party thing. You know, I mean, this is a neon flashing example. All right, here we're coming in a few seconds.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember. We are not afraid.
Yep, what I'm doing, those of you watching, Gold Money, we had ads on there, you know, for then Peter Schiff came on and said all kinds of great things about and kind of done. I'm like taking them off the site. And they're done. All right. This is what happened. I just got a text from Derek, and he goes, man, they're holding up my money. In adherence with our – dear, hello, Derek. In adherence with our Know Your Customer and anti-money laundering policies, we require additional information to verify your account activity. At your earliest convenience, please submit documentation to demonstrate your source of Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency, such as proof of purchase – Coinbase and so on, pay statement, invoice, if you are paid in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, or proof of mining to our customer success team. This is what's happening. Gold Money, where you know, just from my bank account, I send them money, you know, they have some gold there, and I can use a credit card and pulls out the ounces of gold, kind of, you know, this whole thing. Nope. You're not allowed, okay? Especially if you use crypto to buy it. So I had a bad experience, a year or more ago, getting someone and never, no customer service. I'm going, okay, well, because I'm like, all right, it's worth a couple $1,000 to me to make sure everybody knows. If you ain't holding it, you ain't got it, okay? So this is just another blow to this kind of, it would be cool. And we just had a guy on from an Acapulco talking about LODE, which is the same thing in the Cayman Islands using silver and crypto. But if the underlying, you know, is not there, it's not on a, you know, your private, your hardware wallet, on a paper wallet or whatever, you got control of it, you know, it's really not. Well, I got control of it, but it's just the value is based on some silver or gold that's in a vault somewhere. Well, what if the man don't want you to do that? You see, this is where, you know, Mr. Tim Pachote understands exactly what I'm talking about. What are we going to learn about today in light of that, Tim?
All right, good morning, everybody. We are doing all things economic today. And so what I wanted to start off with, and this was a, I'm not sure if your audience knows, if you're familiar with this investment guy. He's known as the Bond King. It wasn't a title that he foisted upon himself, but it's Jeffrey Gundlach. And I happened to catch his interview. It was from Yahoo Finance. And this is probably one of the better guys that's out there. He does, you know, argue about, you know, taxation and how it should be raised on other people, not him. And, you know, that's a whole argument that, you know, this audience obviously isn't going to have. But what I want to do is play maybe like 2 minutes of this, because I think he does like an absolutely amazing job. And then it's going to set us up for the, I made like an entire PowerPoint just for your audience today that has not been seen in the past. So just a second here. Here we go. We're going to share computer sound, optimize for full screen, and here we go.
We're really railing against how much money we spend on old people in the United States government system, as opposed to how much we spend on young people. Mm-hmm. And in that article, the ratio was 7-1. How much we of the budget goes to paying for things for people over 65, compared to paying for things for people under 21, I can't remember if it's 21 or 25, whatever, but young people. And if you're investing in dying people and not investing in the future, you don't have a very bright future. And so millennials are starting to understand that the baby boomers have all the wealth, mm-hmm. and millennials don't really, I mean, they can't afford a house, you know, they've got student loan debt.
Right.
And they're starting to believe, I think, finally, that they kind of got screwed by the system.
When you see a number like $22 trillion for the nation's debt, are we past the point of no return? What does the day of reckoning look like?
We are
really at that tipping point. So since we're not going to do anything about it in the next couple of years, almost certainly, I think once we get to 2020, 2021, I think you will be past the point of no return. And so you're just going to have to deal with it. And one of the problems is that we have $22 trillion in debt, and it's growing very rapidly. But we also have $123 trillion in unfunded liabilities. The state and local pension systems in the United States, on average, are 50% underfunded. So if you take a look at Illinois, there's no chance that Illinois can honor its pension obligations to its public unions. It cannot do it. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is you have to cut benefits. When you have $123 trillion of unfunded liabilities, you have to decommit. You can't fund them. To fund them, it would be amazing. I mean, we have to go to, if we funded $123 trillion of future liabilities, that's 6 times GDP. If we did that over a 60-year period, we would have to take 10% of our GDP every year and put them aside into funding these liabilities. So we'd go from an economy which is 6% in deficit to we'd have to go to one that's 10% in surplus. So it would be 16% swing from where we are today. So we cannot fund these liabilities.
All right, and it's funny because the last time that I did a Breakfast Club talk, we were only 35%, I'll say only 35% underfunded, so we've gone from 35 to 50. But Jeffrey Gundlach is pretty much the most prized interview somebody can get, and it's somebody who he obviously must listen to the Peter Schiff show, because I probably went like a year and a half not really paying too much to Gundlach, and I listened to an interview he did in December, and it's in all the things he was saying were stuff that I said like a year before, like almost down to a T. And at one point during the interview, and for anyone who listens to Peter Schiff, Schiff talks all, he watches his interviews like a hawk, because basically he will say stuff word for word out of the Peter Schiff podcast. It is funny that, you know, here we are, you know, with the Derek and Gold Money, and mm-hmm. it's up to this. And Peter always says, you know, I just wish once he would basically acknowledge that he got that from me, mainly as a way to have the establishment be like, you know, suck it, you know, it's coming from Peter Schiff. However, in this interview, about like 20 minutes into it, somebody asked him, well, what's, you know, one person that you listen to that maybe no one else, you know, really pays attention to? And I thought he's going to name Peter Schiff, and he names some like obscure painter or something. And so I'm sure like Peter was probably like sitting on like the edge of his seat, like, oh yes, please say me. But it wasn't him. So what I'm going to do now is I've got a PowerPoint that I made yesterday. And how much time do we have to have till break?
A minute and a half.
Mid and a half. So you guys, also, check us out in the different live streams. So, Ernie's on D Live. I'm on D Live. I'm at the Liberty Advisor. He's at Ernest Hancock. We're on Twitch. We're on different Facebook. I wouldn't encourage you to watch us on Facebook though, unless you're going to restream it out to your friends. But we do have quite a bit to go over today. But what I want to do before break is, we have seen the markets absolutely explode year to date so far. Let me actually just kind of switch this over to a different view over here. I'm trying to get the slideshow view from beginning. All right. So what we've seen is the markets have absolutely exploded higher since the beginning of the year. And actually,
We'll get it all set up during the break.
I just set it up. Because I'm running Wirecast and I'm streaming it out to like six different places as well. Actually, about I think eight. but in addition to yours too, so it gets a little funky doing some stuff. But what we've seen is the market as of yesterday has been up 11.5% year to date, which is just absolutely crazy. And then when you have to ask yourself why is, has the S&P 500 earnings expectations, have those gotten better? Well, actually, the S&P earnings expectations have absolutely cratered. And so for anyone who's listening to us, we are...
No. Hold it. It's getting into the good. I tell you, I saw this gold money thing coming. I could see there was no customer service towards getting my money. And when I did get my gold, then who do you go to? And it just, they kind of drug it out. So it's given me opportunity to educate you guys on that. We pulled all the ads off of Freedom's Phoenix Forum. From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, you got it ready?
Yeah, I got it ready for when we're live. But let me might make sense for me just to share it now so that way I can have it all set up. Because I'm dealing with so many different knobs and dials.
I'm hip.
If there's anyone that understands that, I know it's you. So
go, pull it up.
Cool. Yep. I've got it on Wirecast now, so that's
okay. Working. On our view, we have the it's not a single frame, it's the whole thing. Not that I care, but I mean,
It's so in your view right now, you see the entire thing.
Yeah.
You see that?
I see the preview on the left.
All right, let me see if I can see what I need to do to change that. Stop share.
I mean, it's fine. I don't care, but FYI.
Okay, I think I've. How about now?
There you go.
Boom.
Well, we got Ivanka. Is going to go head to head. We got white girl blonde against the dark haired not AOC and Ivanka Trump. They're gonna do battle. That's awesome. We'll see how that goes. Venezuela's created. There's so much stuff. There is so much stuff. It is all about general public opinion. And the Oscar thing and then pushing whatever movie. Did you hear any of the stuff we were talking about, the SJW and Captain Marvel stuff? Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, I probably caught about half of it. My daughter was crying, absolutely bawling in the car as we're driving to drop her off at daycare. So I had only so much I could hear. But I did hear towards the end and how the Rotten Tomatoes and how they're limiting
and all that. That sent Frank into freaking... fit. He was like, see, I told you, he's right. It's just they got a control, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I don't watch movies, so I stopped enjoying movies because I could just see through all the propaganda so long ago that I just
It's why I like the Avengers series. They weren't, that didn't enter into it, especially Winter Soldier and the Captain America character. And, you know, and Tony Stark starts going a little status, but they made it clear he was. And then he starts coming back and they get, yeah, but they saved it all at Disney. They say, I go, Marvel's Disney. How did they not? Because they were building it up for Captain Marvel. They're no hell, man. They're dumping it all on you. You know, we got the audience, everybody here. Well, we're gonna learnify you on this one, and then everybody went, nah, we're not gonna see it. And they go, what? It's a Marvel superhero movie. You have to go see it. Then I find out one of my grandsons, Kellen, he's like not allowed to see superhero movies anymore. I go, why? Because his sister says, because he beats up on everybody.
That shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. We're going to go ahead and do go straight to the PowerPoint that Tim has available for us and talking about what are we looking at? What's the issue here, Tim?
Well, the big thing that we saw was...
Tim Pichot, thelibertyadvisor.com. Sorry about that. Okay, now we know who. All right, go.
Yep, and you guys can also catch my TDV presentation that I put up on Freedom's Phoenix yesterday. You can also catch it at thelibertyadvisor.com/crisis-retiring. I don't know if that's easier, but you can also find it yesterday.
Tim whipped ass on there. We're watching all these other things, and I'm going, I'm not really, I go, you know, it's nice, and it's cool, and they're here, and what I'm going, holy crap, and Tim was last. So he went up, and then right after him, all of the other speakers got up on stage, and, you know, Tim's in the middle and rock star of whip de butt with some real information. So I encourage you guys to go watch that video. You'll go, damn, now we know why. I think Tim will be back again. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I also will be at Anarcha Zona, and I just realized Jeff Berwick is going to be speaking there. You got Scott Sorensen, who's like the crypto-gasmic guy, Larkin Rose, yourself. There was, I think, Luis Mises, like a whole bunch of very good people are going to be there. And it's only $25, I think, for the next like 2 weeks if you guys sign up. That's at the end of March. It's like March 30th. So anyways, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I would recommend you guys check that out. I'll have a new presentation for that one.
Yeah, we'll have ads up for it today. Matter of fact, I'll start putting them up right now. They just sent them to me last night. So Berwick's going to be there too, huh? All right.
I didn't know that till yesterday. I saw
him. All right, cool.
But what we've seen is that the markets, you know, from October 3rd, and again, it's crazy. I made a video October 2nd about why I thought the market was going to go down. October 3rd, boom, that's the day Powell comes out and says we're very far away from the natural rate of inflation. And then, you know, long story short, about 2-3 months later, he's like, well, actually, we're very close to the natural rate. And so the Fed completely did a U-turn in everything they were doing. And what you'd have to, but a lot of people don't know all this. I mean, your audience obviously does. But when you take a look at some of the fundamentals, you're thinking, okay, well, the market's up 11.5% year to date. Well, surely there's got to be, you know, the S&P 500 earnings. Those have probably gotten better, right? Nope, those have actually cratered. Since you know, when I first came out with that video on October 2nd. And so even around, right around the time that the S&P started going up, the earnings started even plummeting even worse. And so this goes back to when I gave my very first Breakfast Club presentation called The Trump Effect and Why Good News is Bad News. And now this is why bad news is good news. And so it's just, and this is a thing that I made 2 weeks into Trump being in office. So no one can accuse me of Monday morning quarterbacking any of this. So then you want to go into, all right, let's look at the S&P 500 earnings growth, actual earnings, not forward-looking. Oh, those are down 2.7% year-to-date. And then you look at, you know, the U.S. macro surprise index. So it's, you know, the big picture economic data, like, you know, unemployment rates and, you know, manufacturing index and all that crap. Oh, that's all been a big surprise to the downside as well, with in the face of the market going ever so higher. Then you take a look at the U6 unemployment, which is a much more broader measure of the unemployment rate.
Well, what does U6 mean? Six what?
I don't know. There's what they call the headline number is called U3. So the number you see in the paper is called U3. Then U6, basically it adds in some of the discouraged workers and it adds in some people that basically that the bullshit U3 number discounts. So even the government's own number. And so I took this from Zero Hedge. And what it shows is you see that you're seeing an uptick in the U6, which is a broader, not the broadest form of unemployment. And you guys can go to actually shadowstats.com is a great resource for this. Actually, I do pull it up. I have it pulled up right now, but I don't want to flip back and forth from the screens and mess things up. But you see the unemployment rate starting to tick up, which, you know, you wouldn't think that that would be another good sign, but apparently it's something where people don't care about that that one either. Then you take a look at, okay, well, the, you know, the GDP, that must be doing great. You know, everything started, you know, with the stock market going down the fourth quarter. Well, and then, you know, basically, you know, Canadian Boxing Day, I think it was the 26th of December, things started going back up. You think, okay, well, surely the GDP outlook must be higher. Nope, they're coming in at, even the Atlanta Fed is coming in at 1.8%. And this topic, almost more than any other topic, probably pisses me off more than anything, because we saw all the big Trump, even yesterday, even Joby Weeks sort of got into it with me. Not, I wouldn't say really got into it with me on Facebook about this, where a year ago, and I was on your show saying this, and you were saying it, and even Frank was acknowledging this, that do not hang your hat on all these BS numbers. Do not hang your hat on these rigged stock market numbers or GDP numbers. And everyone's like, oh, the Atlanta Fed last year, they said around this time that the growth rate was going to be like 5.4 or 5.2, something ridiculous. And then they always kept ratcheting it down. And so all these people, I'm like, listen, the Atlanta Fed is not your friend. All these Fed branches are not your friend. Like, you should not be, as a Trump supporter, you should not be hanging your hat on what the Federal Reserve says, for Christ's sakes, of everything. And so now even their own precious Atlanta Fed has come out and said that the fourth quarter GDP is probably going to be 1.8%. And then so I did the math and say, okay, well, the first quarter last year was 2.2. The second quarter, that was the big blowout. We know we've never been better in the history of the world. That was 4.2. Third quarter was 3.5. Fourth quarter was 1.8. If you add all four of those together, it's 11.6. Divide that by four, you get 2.9% GDP. So Trump, in the greatest economy in the history of the world, that mother effer still didn't break 3% GDP after having absolutely exploded the deficit, exploded the amount of debt that we have as a country. And we, I mean, if you probably ran the same amount of deficit as Obama ran, which, believe me, is, you know, setting a pretty low bar, you know, the GDP, I haven't done the math on this, but I mean, it probably would be closer to two. I mean, these are all game numbers, all rigged numbers. And so everyone's saying, you know, this said they said it could never be done. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like saying, hey, I couldn't spend that much more money, and I'm going to take out five more credit cards and show you how much money I could spend. And, you know, we didn't fix the problem. But, yeah, we're probably not going to be 3% GDP. I told everybody not to hang their hats on this. This is not a good measure. And, yeah, and it looks like they all should have listened to me. What we're seeing now, and again, you guys want to head over to with the various streaming outlets that we are streaming to, or you can go to freedomsfeedings.com. Right now I've got a graph pulled up, and it shows various GDP quarters, and you see that there was a quarter that where we grew at 5.1%, another quarter where we grew at 4.9%, except if you want to take a look at the date, that was under Obama. So all the Trump supporters really shut the F up over all the stuff of saying, look at this, this is an economic miracle, because so far it looks like the economic miracle, and again, there's lots of BS of how Obama got that number and all sorts of things where they dragged spending from one quarter and put it in the other and all sorts of BS that they did with that. But with that aside, if you're going to hang your hat on, look at me, and I have the best GDP numbers ever, and they said it couldn't be done, well, Obama technically has had three other quarters of better GDP than Trump has. And even if you strung the two together, I mean, Obama so far is killing him in that regard. And yeah, there's, you know, and I wrote a whole book called How It's Rigged, basically to refute all of Obama's numbers. So I'm not some Obama fan over here, as I'm sure everyone knows. This is, so now coming off all this data, the Dow has had its best at nine, it's off to a 9-week winning streak, which is the longest in 24 years, which again is absolutely insane. What we're taking a look at now is, you know, if things are going so well, then surely we can keep reducing the Fed's balance sheet. So what that means is we, right now, not say we, but the Federal Reserve is having $50 billion a month rolling off their balance sheet. And right now from the Federal Reserve minutes that came out, it says almost all participants thought that it would be desirable, participants being the Federal Reserve governor.
Going in the break. You're getting a full presentation Tim wants to share with you. Let's take advantage of it. Pay attention. All right, we'll be right back. Tim Pachote, thelibertyadvisor.com, explaining it to us, because I need to explain. But I know what's going to happen. Oh, here she come. Should I try and get my gold now from Gold Money? What do you think will happen? No. Okay, how many more slides you got?
Let me see here. I went straight from dealing with my daughter into this, so I need to go see. Let me stop the screen share, pull it up. Where'd it go? Somehow it disappeared on me. All right, let's see. I've got my slide 12, and I've got 27. But a lot of these I can just kind of wrap.
Right, no, that's fine. I mean, you know, just, you know, it's like, you know, keep whipping. And then I'll ask, like, yeah, and this means what? I tell you, the big thing that scares me is the city of Phoenix, they had the unions got on the ballot in last year or something, or within the last couple of years, certainly, that the first thing that gets paid are pensions. You know, it doesn't matter, but they get potholes everywhere. It doesn't matter, you know.
Was it specifically the
employees
police
get paid?
Well, I thought it was like specifically the police and firefighters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them first.
The guys with the guns, they get paid
right,
first.
Right. Guns and hoses.
Yeah. Guns and hose.
No, yeah. That's their thing. Guns and hoses. Guns and hose you. I mean, you know, I get it. You know, this is just so, I'm putting up these ads. They had they sent me a bunch of ads, you know, join Tim and Ernie, you know, they had, you know, that up there. And so I'll put that up.
No, it's a pretty good lineup. And actually, one of the crazy things is if you try to post the link on Facebook, it doesn't even allow you to post it to Anarchizona.
Really?
Yeah. And that guy, he's putting it on, Michael, very nice guy, you know, he's nowhere near.
I met him.
Yeah, nowhere near as loud or outspoken or boisterous as us. And but yeah, if you go to it's anarchizona.com, and then you can see the speaker lineup. So they've got Scott Sorensen, who he was there. He was the cryptogasmic guy because he goes, yeah, because making money feels so good. I thought that was pretty funny. Benny Wills, Ernest Hancock. Amanda Rauschwitz, which is Larkin Rose's girlfriend, Larkin Rose, Jeff Berwick, and then I'm sure there'll be more added as well. But no, it's for, you know, $25 right now. I mean, it's a hell of a deal for anyone that was complaining about. There's so much.
Well, it's going to go to $40, like, I don't know, Thursday. I talked to him, and
I think they extended it to like.
Yeah, I think I extended it. Yeah, extended a little bit. I go, hey, extended a little bit. I just get an ad up here, man. Come on, you know.
Yeah, even $40 is a steal as well. So.
Yeah, no, this would be good. And did you see pictures of the venue?
I'm not sure. I'm on the website right now, so I can go through.
Yeah, it's really pretty. You know, I'm going, okay, well, that's cool.
Oops, I tried to. All right, so it's shared with you, but then I messed up my other.
Yeah, no, keep your slide stuff up. That would be in less than a minute.
Get this squared away then.
Yeah, I'm just loading up the ads. They just sent them to me. I can do it now while you're yakking. Yeah, this gold money, everything, neon flashing, everything. I'm going, yep, here we go. It's the same old, same old, same old, same old. You know,
I tried getting an account there like 2 years ago, and they wouldn't even do it with I had my passport. I had so much crap, and they still wouldn't even do it even with my passport. Because I didn't have like my social security card. I'm like, well, screw that. I'm not getting a social security card so I can.
Well, they got everybody in. Now they want to know who you is. You know, it was, that was amazing.
So can he even pull his money off of there now?
Well, that's what Derek's having a problem. They may not have it or it got, I have no idea. This is getting funky. Funky, funky. All right.
Chat 24/7 at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
All right, right back with Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisor, yakking. I'll do music next time. Okay, now we're putting up the ads on Freedom City. You'll start seeing them during the show here today. Anarchizona, 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 and that'll come up. It's in Sedona. They got a beautiful venue there, and they're kind of in the open. It's almost like a church cathedral kind of setting. That's a, you know, it's a civic center or whatever, overlooking the Redman. Be beautiful. And it's a one-day thing, as far as I can tell. It's the 30th. Tim and I will be going there. You had met him somewhere else before, hadn't you?
I think I met him there last year, but I mean, at Anarchapoco, but there's, you know, so many, I didn't really remember him, to be honest with you, but he saw me speak and wanted me to be there this year. And then he saw me speak again. I definitely met him this year at Anarchapoco. But no, apparently.
But it was before that, and then I heard about it, and then we're, you know, you and I both going, and now it's Amanda and Larkin, you know, they're going. You have Jeff Borowick's going to be there, some other guys. So it's a thing. It's already a thing. They just
I didn't know Jeff was going to be there till last night. So now, I mean, with him and Larkin and yourself, I mean, between those two, you should be able to pull in even more people. But it's only a one-day thing, so I don't know how many more people they can pull. But it looks like they won't be pulling an Adam Kokesh then, because if it's Scott Larkin, that's, you know, one or the other.
Oh, good point. I didn't even think of that. That's ouch, quit it, crap. I don't get in the middle of that garbage. All right, so go ahead and finish with your presentation. I'm looking at a comments thing up here or something. Is that what I'm supposed to be looking at?
Yeah, so basically the Federal Reserve, so everything is supposedly going great, everything's amazing, but yeah, I mean, basically we got a quote that says, you know...
Well, I don't see anything, it's just blank.
Just blank?
Yeah. Really? Well, it's, you know, it says comments in the top left, it's like the screen's not down to where I can see what the... whatever.
Okay, well, that's weird. Let me try to share that again.
See, I knew you were pushing buttons and stuff, and you screwed it up.
Yeah, it's weird because on my Wirecast, so if anyone is on live streaming through my Wirecast, they can see it. But yeah, it's a logistical nightmare trying to stream like all these different things at once. Anyways, let me son of a gun. Let's see here. Now I lost even where the Zoom thing was to.
See, too many buttons. Too many buttons.
Yeah, trying to get away.
Well, just tell us. You can go. I believe you. I don't need to have to see it.
All right, so basically right now, can you see it now? All right, so it says, almost all participants, being the Federal Reserve governors, thought that it would be desirable to announce before too long a plan to stop reducing the federal... more things popping up over here. Should stop reducing the Federal Reserve's asset holdings later this year. Such an announcement would provide more certainty about the process for completing the normalization of the size of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, the document said. So, I mean, they're already wavering basically on... this whole, you know, whether or not they're going to stop, because originally what they said is, okay, we're going to take the balance sheet from $4 trillion and we're going to get it all the way down to zero. And then they, you know, said, okay, it's going to be closer by $2 trillion, and now they've gotten it down to like, I don't know, like $3.6 trillion, and it's basically like, yeah, that's basically enough because the economy can't handle it. And so it all gets back to, if you know the destination, you know the journey, and we know that the destination is they're going to have to start printing money again at some point. And so right now
back up. So you think that's the end result of this? They're just gonna have to come up with some excuse to just start printing up a bunch of money and shoving it through the banks or whatever again? Is that the deal?
On a long enough time horizon, I don't know if that'll be the first thing to do, but you know, like the zero hedge on a long enough time horizon, I guess everything dies, but yeah, in a long enough time horizon, that's what's gonna happen. And so you gotta ask yourself, who are they beholden to? And the bottom line, well, the Fed, and this is from the guy from Bleakley Advisory Group, part of a Zero Hedge article I was reading. Bottom line, well, the Fed, I believe, clearly had room for a current pause because of the economic slowdown going on overseas. Yeah, everything's just because overseas, not because of here. It should also be clear to everyone that they are mostly beholden to asset prices. That's, you know, housing prices, any financial asset, both the stock market and credit spreads, that's the bond market, with driving their policy. So, yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, is probably not too much of a shock for your audience. And then we're looking at the meeting minutes continued. And among the considerations...
Okay, I'm seeing, please head to DLive to support decentralized media frame up there.
You know, that's weird. Let me see if I can... How about now?
If things are going so well, surely... Oh, it's zooming in and out. Oh, my God. Just put it on you, man. Just put it on you. Tell me about it. Go.
All right, let's put it back on me just a second here. All right, stop share.
There you go. Just go. Go. Tell me what's up.
So among the considerations were the recent softness in inflation, the government shutdown, and a path of fiscal policy. Officials also weighed the impact that the Fed policy tightening moves, as well as the ongoing trade negotiations between the U.S. and China, would have in the economy. So they're trying to give themselves an excuse not to raise rates right now. And then you've got to ask yourself, you know, they say, oh, we got to have a path to fiscal policy. Well, we did see the Jeffrey Gundelach interview from the beginning that we played, where basically, you know, the path to fiscal policy, that there is no path. I mean, if we tried to pay it off over 60 years, we'd have to use 10% of GDP to even pay it off. But since the money's based off debt, you can't do that anyways. And one thing I do want to tell your listeners is, so you want even more hilarity that's coming up now, is on March 1st, the debt ceiling comes back into play. So what is that, Friday or Thursday? When's March 1st?
Really?
And I've got a whole presentation on this.
I'm haven't heard nothing about that. They haven't said anything about this debt thing, because to get them, yeah, it was like a 3-week deal. Everybody gets paid again, then we'll start bitching about the wall again, and you know, here comes back the, you know, the budget and so on. Man, while he's gone and in Hanoi, and we got kind of, we all forgot about, they're going to have to vote on the budget again, right?
This is the debt ceiling. So the debt ceiling.
Yeah, they got to increase it, don't they?
But for the past year and a half, it's been suspended. So almost since the time Trump got in office, it was somehow suspended for basically until, you know, from.
Okay, so what's coming up? What was that 3-week thing?
That's something else. So this is this
Wait. So they got two. They got to do the budget, you know, thing, and then they got this debt ceiling thing again.
Yeah, this is just another big ass straw on the camel's back. But I'm going to get it. So last year, about actually 2 years ago, I wrote an article explaining what all these extraordinary measures are. So once the debt ceiling comes back into play, they're going to run out of money. But they somehow don't run out of money because of all the BS that they pull. But most people have no idea what the BS that they pull actually is. And so I wrote an article 2 years ago. And what I did is I summarized it up in the next slides that are coming. Excuse me. To give your audience an idea of the crap that they pull when we hit debt ceiling. So as I continue here, March 1st, debt ceiling comes back into play. And I've got a slide here where Senator Grassley says the debt limit may not be increased until October, Chuck Grassley says. And then you got to ask yourself, well, if the debt ceiling comes back into play March 1st, which, you know, this week and no one's even talking about it. I mean, this is crazy. You know, how are they able to fund the government in the meantime? And so I will send you and Donna this article that I wrote 2 years ago. And so what they do is they do what they call extraordinary measures. And all this stuff I got sourced and cited from treasury.gov/initiative/document/description of extraordinary measures from 2017. Find it on your own website. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. And then what they do is they get something called headroom. So let's say the debt ceiling is, when it comes back into play, it's going to freeze at whatever level it's at. So let's call it $22 trillion. So headroom refers to the breathing room between the debt ceiling and the current debt limit. So if you had a credit card, let's say that was maxed out at $20,000 and you had a balance of $19,950, if you wanted to create an additional $1,000 of headroom, you know, basically it's, you know, you're trying to create a gap in there where you can buy yourself more time. And so what I want to do now is actually explain how they buy themselves more time. The first, probably the biggest thing they do is they basically raid from the G fund. And the G fund is a money market defined contribution retirement plan. So think of it like sort of like a government 401k plan, but it's the money market funds that are invested into treasury securities for the federal employees. And so that fund is invested in treasury securities, which count against the debt limit. And that entire balance matures daily and is ordinarily that gets reinvested. Well, what happens because with this is they just take the $225 billion that retirees and have put into that fund from the government, which actually is a sort of shockingly low number. And then they pull it out and say, okay, well, that's ours now to spend. And so then they decrease the headroom by another $225 billion.
Okay, wait, what? Okay, when we come back, I want you to make a note where you just stopped right there. I want to know how they're taking your money and using that to increase, you know, what they can spend, because we got it here, but then we need more to pay that back later. God, what?
Well, it's only government. It's only government employees, so I don't feel as bad. But okay.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, I'm putting up the Narcozona ads right now.
But it's crazy that Facebook, I've never really had this happen before. When I go to actually post it, it came with like these error messages. And when Michael posts it, it has error messages. And then I reposted everything except for that link, and then it worked. It's just, yeah, just crazy that it's just automatically got banned. Like, not even shadow banned, like actual banned.
Of course. You know, looks like we made it. You know, see, that's one thing. This is exactly what I was talking about in going dark. And I don't know of any of my stuff that's banned yet. I'm not on the radar screen.
Well, the problem is, you know, it's been shadow banned so badly that by the time now that we're on, no one's seeing you anyways because of all the crap that they pulled. So, you know, sort of had the same effect. I mean, right now, so my live stream says live taping of Declare Your Independence, and underneath my shot says, please head to DLive.tv to support decentralized media. So actually trying to stick it to the man as much as possible. But yeah, I was streaming also from my Mevo, and I just turned it off, but it said the entire time didn't have a single person join out of 32,000 people following me. Not a single person.
And where does it go to?
That one was going to the Facebook, my Facebook.
I'm telling you, man, that was the point I was making. I go, you guys think it's bad now, you know, it's not even there. They can tag you and everywhere and everything. We have to go to something else. You know, yesterday we had Paul Poy on and Derek going on about IPFS. And, you know, I found out, Sunday that Filecoin and IPFS are the same guys. And I'm going, how did I miss that? And Derek goes, well, I told you. And you know, Paul goes, well, I told you. And I go, how did I miss that? You know,
I'm always amazed at how smart, I mean, obviously Derek, everybody knows how smart he is, but with Paul Poy, I mean, the guy, every time I've heard him talk, it's like, yeah, this guy definitely knows his stuff.
Yeah, no, Paul was, you know, he helped me through a lot of, you know, understanding of a lot of stuff. And the biggest thing is because you just know, you know, that you just know. And the big problem that I had with all of this stuff was they make it way more complicated than it needed to be. And I'm just angry at the space for, I guess everybody jumps up. I know more than somebody else, put me on, but they can't go deep. They can't answer all the questions. They can't, you know, go three questions on one subject and then you just realize they're just reading from some bullet point that somebody sent them a 3x5 card. You know, all right, we're coming back.
Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Dipper Joe, Liberty Advisor. Yeah, we keep yakking. You know, you guys need to go on the stream. You go to freedomsphoenix.com. You go to the live stream there, and we're live streamed on, like, everything. I don't know what we live streamed on, Tim.
Well, I'd probably recommend DLive because that one isn't controlled by the man. So it's DLive.tv. And then while you're there, you've got Ernest Hancock is one channel. The Liberty Advisor is another. Like us both, you'll probably be like definitely within the top five of people that have liked this so far. Because right now I think I'm sitting at like one or two and you're sitting probably like at three or four. So
on what? DLive?
How do people subscribe? Because everyone, you know, bitches all day about Facebook and everything, but no one does anything about it. So like, at least I'm trying
Matt,
to.
Don't care. Don't care. Stuff. We're promoting on the all that we just started last week, you know, pushing it and it's going out and we got the IP. We're fine. I just want to make sure we get it all working before I go getting stupid because we'll promote it locally. That's one thing that a lot of the guys, no, you got to go where the people are. Okay, you want to get people? Let me show you how you do it. It's freaking a campaign. It's signs. It's, you know, printing. It's flyers. It's like doing this Anarchazona thing. You know, we're going to be going local and being real. I go, whoa, where'd these guys come from? And have an impact locally. Because here they're doing this smart city thing. There are all kinds of legislation they're doing on the vaccines. I go, oh, we got plenty of to do here locally. And then that will kind of catch on and the other people will replicate. This is my first rodeo. 30 years, if I know how the psychology works on this, you got to build up locally. And then it just kind of goes from there. So we're getting the mechanism. You see all the problems we're having with kind of him pushing the right button and everything. But because we bit off a lot, so we got streaming on a bunch of stuff. How many do you got streaming on just when you do it?
Probably like 8 right now because I've got BitTube, DLive, Twitch, 2 different Facebook pages, YouTube, Periscope, that's Twitter. It's all the ones off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing is I'm doing this. Most of them are out through Wirecast, and with Wirecast at the top of it, it says live taping of Declaring Independence, and it has the normal shot. And underneath it says, please head to DLive.tv to support decentralized media. And so maybe I can even change that. So it's essentially what you're saying is we're over here to tell you we're over there. And will DLive be the one? I don't know. But, you know, a lot of people are using Twitch, but then Twitch is Amazon, so I don't know how good I feel about that. YouTube, you know, I don't need to tell you about what they're doing to screw you. Twitter, do I need to tell you about that? I mean, so out of all these platforms, I'm thinking, okay, DLive has been working pretty good. I haven't really seen too many hiccups. Only when it was my fault for trying to stream to 7 places from my phone when I did it from Tone Vase. That was my problem. But let's get back into, because we got some more slides to cover.
All right, go, man.
So this is the G Fund is where we left off. So the G Fund is, think about if you were, you know, investing into, you know, a 401k and then it's like your money market account. Well, this is like the money market account for the government employees. And essentially, Congress has granted Treasury the statutory authority to suspend reinvestment of all or part of the balance of the G Fund when the secretary determines that the fund cannot be fully invested without exceeding the debt limit. Skip to the end. Basically, they take $225 billion that should have went to government employees, or, you know, and then they temporarily reallocated it to themselves.
What do you mean temporarily? Does that mean that they're not receiving part of their benefits? Or are they just, it's a trick that we kind of, accounting, we put in a number here to say we're more solvent? I mean,
when they increase the debt limit, again, what they'll do is they'll just add it to reflect that. And so that's why whenever you see, like when Trump came on board and people are like, oh, look what he's doing. And the debt is actually decreased. And this is amazing. And people still think that is decreased because they're idiots. But what they do is it's all a temporary game where you can say, yeah, it's decreasing. Well, it's decreasing because of all the crap they're doing with these extraordinary measures. But then what will happen is the day that it comes back into a play, like immediately the debt will shoot up like $500 billion because they'll have to fund back all the crap that we're going to mention right now. So it's, yeah, so it's bad. So yeah, so that creates $225 billion of headroom. So now you've got another $225 billion that the government can piss away as they have this manufactured crisis continues to roll on. And another way that they do this is you've got the civil service retirement system that they contribute $6.9 billion per month. You also have the post office retirement system that they contribute $400 million per month. And when you're in these extraordinary measures, they say, okay, well, thank you for playing. We're not actually going to contribute to the government employees anymore. And so if the government shutdown were to last for 3 months, they'd clear themselves up another almost $22 billion of headroom. This was from information from 2017. So it might be a little bit more, a little bit less, but you guys get the picture. I'm not going to, you know, belabor myself and figure out the exact number because, you know, drive yourself nuts. But so then this is from 2017, on June 30th, approximately $70 billion in the Civil Servants Retirement Fund matures. And then basically instead of paying that interest, they end up basically not paying it. And then they clear themselves another $83 billion in headroom. That's a skip to the end. And then they do other things will be a good segue for your guest tomorrow, John Snison. And I highly recommend everybody checks him out of World Alternative Media. But they also suspend the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which I don't know a lot about. He does, so don't question me a ton on that. But that ends up clearing another $22 billion in headroom. So they suspend state and local government treasury series. And then the latter doesn't clear up any headroom, but it does prevent $3 to $13 billion of new issuances being made, which would ordinarily count against debt ceiling. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you manufacture a crisis every single year. It's just, you know, why is there even a debt ceiling if all they do is raise it? And then, again, if you know the destination, you know the journey. You've got the Green New Deal that some people would say would cost over $93 trillion. That's where Ocasio-Cortez says we're going to rebuild every building in America in over the next 12 years. We're going to stop cows from farting. We're going to stop all air travel. We're going to stop all car travel. I mean, that sounds pretty cheap. The rates can't afford to have the rates go higher, which means you're going to have to start printing money again at some point. Will the market go up or down? Who knows? But the money has to go somewhere. And I'm trying to I can't see it because of my camera. But I have an analogy here for Mercedes-Benz. If you own Mercedes-Benz stock in the year 1900 and you owned, and somebody else owned, let's say, the gold mark, well, the gold mark was completely devalued into, I believe, the Renmark. Then the Renmark was completely devalued into the Reichsmark. Then the Reichsmark was devalued into the Deutschmark. Then the Deutschmark was then rolled up into the Euro. And so if you were holding on to Mercedes-Benz stock, you had an actual asset that was increasing in but being priced into different shares. Whereas if you had just the paper, even the gold mark, it was repriced and you lost 90 cents in the dollar. And what I would highly recommend is, you know, we didn't even really touch on the longevity risk and all that other stuff. You guys need to go and text. What Ernie was talking about earlier in the show is the presentation I did at the TDV Investment Summit. I had a lot of great information there that I'm not going to cover right now. And then you want to make sure you text the number, because I'm just giving a ton of information that I spent tons of time in. And yeah, you know what? You know, probably, you know, 1% of the people that see that will do business with me. The other 99% will be, you know, much, much more educated for both themselves and their family. I should be charging for this stuff, because it is like a ton of like really high level information that you don't normally get anywhere else. So you guys can watch that at thelibertyadvisor.com/crisis-retiring. And then you're going to want to text. And what I'll do is I'll add this actually to the text list, that presentation. So the text in the body, you're going to text, the number you're going to text to is 741-441. And then in the body, you want to put TDV, so the dollar vigilante, or Tom, Dick, Victor, TDV. I'd also recommend people take the Riskalyze assessment that we have. And as we're running out of time, initially your first viewers who got in on this, first listeners that got in on this, I had free crypto IRAs as they were being the guinea pigs on this. And then it realized, wow, that is a ton of work. I cannot be doing this for free. But, you know, thank you for the people that signed up first, because it was a good, you know, experiment as we're trying to figure out what's the best way to do this. So if you guys pay, it's going to be $1,250, which is actually less than the normal $1,500 we're charging, which that's actually going up to $2,000 as well. I'm going to donate $500 to Ross, or actually, no, better, you guys donate directly $500 to Ross. Don't even, you know, show me the proof. $750 will go to us. $750 is going to go to just a lawyer to get it done. So we're not getting super rich off this. Or if you have over $250,000, you want to prove that you made a $500 donation directly to Ross, then there will be no other additional charges. And what I mean by $250,000 is, let's say you want, you know, $50,000 in a crypto IRA, and you want another $200,000 in more traditional assets. So in the aggregate of what I'm managing is over the $250,000. And you guys can schedule directly on the site. Hope it wasn't too much of I don't do a ton of plugging. And right now you guys are getting a chance.
Well, this is my thing is that I'm glad that you do this, because people need this kind of help from somebody that knows what's coming. And all of this stuff, blah blah blah. The bottom line that you're showing here is that they're going to have to print money. They're going to have to take it from somewhere, extend, kind of do more debt, something. You know, this is not over. It's just beginning. And to think that we're okay, or it's better, the stock market's up, now you have time. Now is the time now to get your house in order, and Tim can help you, because it's going to be too late, if not already. I mean, this is like any freaking day. My daughter and son-in-law, and they are, you know, well, we're going to Disney World with the kids. Do we, you know, get the house ready and sell before or after we come back yet? And I've been sending them, don't say anything, I just send them stuff. And they're going, nope, we're going to list it now, and you can sell it while we're gone. Because we need to do what you did. Get out all you can.
Because we are smothering in Spain.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They're getting everything all ready and pretty perfect, and making stage in the house. It's a beautiful home, and they just it's a move-in turnkey. Somebody go, boom, there's the money, put me in. You know, because it's a nice place, and they got their kids all worked up. Hey, man, we're going to get a nice apartment. We're going to, you know, ride it out for a year or two, and then we'll get, you know, and they'll do like what they did before. Because to get into this home back in 11 or something, they made bank. They got it really cheap. They're probably going to equity way over $100,000 if they sell low. So it's they're like, yeah, we can do this. You do this a couple of times, you're good. You know, you got all your debt paid off. You got your living small. They're both, you know, they're doing well financially. And for them to make this kind of mature decision as young people is very, 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 very encouraging, you know. And I'm just glad that they are doing this. And a lot of it is information that you had that I forwarded to them. So thank you. You know, so if somebody's in a home and they got some equity, should they be taking advantage of it now?
I mean, you see some people where they say, you know, hey, you know, I'll just, you know, sell the house in like a year or two. I'm like, well, and I see people who are looking at buying a house, like, well, you know, if I don't like it, I can just sell it. I'm like, well, you know, that's the exact, if you're planning on being in a place for 10 years or you really like your house, I wouldn't say there's a big fire drill. But if you're thinking of like, hey, I'm going to have another kid, or, you know, I'm having, you know, three kids that are moving out of the house and going to college and I need to go downsize. Well, the time to make those moves is now. But if you're going to be, if you're happy with your house and you want to stay in it for a long time, you know, then that's one thing. But if you don't think you're going to be in a house for, you know, 5 to 7 years, then that's sort of my metric. If I don't want to be in some place for like 5 to 7 years, and it makes more sense for me to rent. And actually, I just found out that behind my old house that I sold, they're actually expanding the highway for another two lanes. So
my God, you would have a freeway in your backyard and you got out, you win, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Sad.
No, it was good timing. Yeah, so we pawned it off on another. And it was hard for me to. I mean, I had to drop the price substantially, probably like $25,000 less than what Zillow, you know, had it quoted for. So I mean, people always want to go by the Zillow, you know, estimate, but you know, it's all
mean nothing.
It's all crap. But no, yeah, I hope it provided some good information today. I made that just for your audience.
Well, the bottom line is, I mean, you'll skip to the end. They're saying everything is great. It's not, and they're going to have to do more shenanigans to make it look like, you know, they're not bankrupt, and just to kick it down the road a little bit longer until they're going to need another bailout.
Skip to the end is, yeah, the bad news is good news. There's a lot of bad news, and the bad news meant that there's less chance of the Fed raising rates, which is good news. And that's why I made the presentation 2 years ago called Trump Effect. My good news is bad news. Now it's just the opposite. Now we have too much good news. I'll say that in air quotes. And then the good news led to the Federal Reserve having to pause these rates and probably have to actually cut, which is the good news. So, which good news in air quotes, I mean, from the media perception, stock market reality.
They keep interest rates down low. That's just a death spiral. You know, and what happens is they have to raise them or print more money. And that's what Volcker did when he came in the early 80s, was to save the dollar. And it's like what you're saying, save the dollar, save the bond market, save the stock market. You know, which one are they going to pick? And I'm thinking it doesn't matter because, you know, the competition in reserve currencies and, you know, like, you know, crypto, you know, anything. And the people, they go, we're the big bank and we got in big stompy of weird kind of, yeah. Well, that don't mean nothing when everybody's poor and they need their money and they do a bank run and they don't start putting it in and they don't have retirements for you to play with and they don't. They always discount the masses right up until they can't, you know, not. So I at what point do I go, hey man, here it comes? I'm like, here it comes, right? I mean, it's, do you got enough beans? I mean, what kind of prepper mentality should people have? Is it going to get that bad?
I mean, I would really recommend people check out the rest of that Jeffrey Gundlach interview. I mean, he then goes on to say how, you know, it's technically possible we could be in a recession before 2020. And I think that those do not want Trump in there, and they're going to pull every stomp.
Why? Stuff. Why is, you know, what do they want in there? Somebody that'll go along with the program and help with the something? What?
I mean, Trump did mess up a lot of their plans. I mean, the plan was to have Hillary come in there and have her roll up this whole new world order and get a war with Russia. And then I think the ultimate plan was to say, you know, have a war with a big power and say, hey, you know, everything is crashing because of those damn Ruskies, not because of the underlying systemic problems. And, you know, he did delay their plan quite a bit, but he also knows where a lot of bodies are buried, except the problem is he's on defense the entire time when he should be on offense, you know, and it's his campaign manager that's in jail and not Podesta, and it's, you know, his advisors that are going to jail and not Hillary. And this whole thing is a big charade, and I'm sick of even wasting my time on it at this point, because, you know, it's just all, you know, it's like what you said, you know, the difference between an anarchist and libertarian is like 6 months of reading. And so at this point, it's been, you know, if you need any more evidence of how corrupt, you know, that we worked our ass off to get, not say we, not you, but let's say Dr. Frank and I worked our butts off to get Trump elected, and then what do we get for it? You know, now we've exposed
me making fun of you. That's one thing.
Yeah, I mean, we get the fact that this is all, you know, out in public for everyone to see, and obviously he's way better than Hillary, but you know, but the path of the trajectory is still in the path of enslavement. The path of trajectory is still on, you know, a lot of socialism. A lot of Republicans are fine with national emergencies as long as it's, you know, their national emergency. And it's just very disheartening to see all these Republicans, who most Republicans are basically the Socialist Party light. I mean, but push comes to shove, the average Republican is not conservative at all. And so by me saying that, it makes me a dumb effing liberal, I guess, by, you know, not wanting to. And the biggest thing that pissed off with Trump is he called out all these unemployment numbers, called out all these fake stats, called it all out until they benefited him. And then now it's his fake stats, it's his fake numbers. It's look what I've done for black unemployment, look what I've done for America. When the trajectory is, you know, he's going to be out of there, whether it's in a year and a half or whether it's in, you know, five years from now, he's going to be out of there. And then we're going to be right back to a very bad situation. And nothing was fixed. The debt's only going to be much, much worse. And our children, who one of them is outside screaming right now.
I got to get to my next guest too. But dang it, man. We need more time on, you know, one thing. Can't we do a podcast? You just come in and we can just yak it one evening. We need to get Frank in here. I'm trying to get him in here to do all his SJW stuff. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. But I'll let you go into your next guest. Thanks for hanging. TheLibertyAdvisor.com. Talk to you guys later.
All right, peace.